Thanks. Yes. Welcome.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay. And you put together this package that I got a chance to look through that is, I don't know if, can you just sort of explain to me how this is going to roll out this weekend? And
well, it's going to roll out in different in congregations, however it best fits for their situation. So we provide a bunch of number of materials and anything from bulletin inserts, which is kind of just summarizes like how you can help in the faith community. We say how you can help. I think like general overall is to pray for any person suffering from the effects of vaping and their loved ones. Learn about the keys for prevention and support, which is we provide material for that. And then share. Take that the next step and share with family and friends. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what our overarching kind of guideline is. So with that, we provide some materials, and the faith leader or congregation determines how to use the materials or which materials to use mm-hmm. within their tradition. Some may bring it into the sermon. Others may have like groups that meet anyway after they worship or before they worship, and make that a topic. There's youth groups. There's certainly in the Christian tradition. There's the and Jewish tradition. There's Bible study groups.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they might pick a passage and see how that would apply to addiction. So there's a lot of different ways that they can. We like to have them have the handouts just to provide people with information. And we've given this electronically as well, so they can even elect to, if they have their parish email list or they have their parish list electronically, they can pass this information along or put it on their websites, whatever they want to do.
And I noticed this is not anecdotal data. This is very, very real data from mm-hmm. legitimate sources and
yes.
the CDC and the FDA. And what's interesting is that this issue is so new that I don't think we even have a lot of local data, because our agency does a lot of work looking at last 30-day use of different substances in our schools, and that's how we can measure if a prevention strategy has worked, for example.
Right.
But this is just literally exploded.
It's completely exploding. I even, in March, I had Leslie Gable out to the parish to talk to the youth, and they invited their friends. We had a very nice Friday evening gathering. She approached me at the last One Voice meeting and said, "Father A, everything's changed. When can we come out?" They did a nice Kahoot game, questions for the youth. They gave out prizes. But the good thing, the scary thing is that everything has changed since March. Because of the deaths that are taking place, there's all this new information. So it's nice that all the faith communities are focusing on this one issue this weekend, so we can all focus on it, but continue through the year to help our families and our youth.
There's a lot of work went into the preparation for these materials that you have now made available to so many. So commend you for that too.
Well, commend the coalition for that, because that's where most of this came from, you
right.
guys.
Well,
so,
it's a bunch of people working together
to
get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we were talking about, you mentioned the deaths, the 33 now that were reported. From what I understand, there's one from New Jersey, and the youth death was from New York metro area, I think, or somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
It was 17 people, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and that's the number, and just the number of cases, and that's just you're just uncovering this. I say I was really pleased. I went for a checkup, medical checkup, just routine, and I was very pleased to see a questionnaire asking about a number of things. But one of the specific questions for the just the well visit was about use of vaping.
Mm-hmm.
Have you vaped? Do you know, and frequency and all of that. And I the other things. I even asked them for a copy of the questionnaire because I thought it was so great. And they're like, wow, this is wonderful. You're a patient that you that expresses appreciation. most likely we're going to have to fill this out. So, but I think that's good. And I think I heard from a doctor in the over at the medical center that there's a lot of new protocols coming for them as well about vaping and treatment.
What's important about that questionnaire, just like this weekend, is starting the conversation.
Yes.
It's always important to just have the conversation.
And I believe the coalition has, most of the pediatricians in Hunterdon County are now asking their patients if they're vaping. But it seems like not just focusing on the kids, but that there's still such a misunderstanding with the parents.
Yes.
About what is, this is nicotine and this is marijuana.
Right, how long did we hear? It was just like a water vapor, right? People thought it was just water vapor.
Yeah, water and just nice little smells out of there.
It's not.
Yeah. And basically, parents, from a parental point of view, saying, well, that's good. They won't be smoking.
Right.
Not realizing that there's what's in there.
I think that's what the kids were thinking, too.
Right. Yeah.
So. And now what's even more confusing is the marijuana dimension of all of this.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard speakers talk about how the marijuana that is in these devices, it's not even the same drug as the marijuana that was here 30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
That it is, the level of THC is so extraordinarily high. And that's why we're seeing people getting medevaced and brought to the emergency room. It's a different beast.
Yeah, what were the numbers we heard? They used to be like 3-4% THC. Now it's like 16-20 or something.
Oh, it can go up to 85% and 90%
THC. Right, especially with these vaping devices.
And my understanding is that you really don't know what the percentage is in most cases. So
here in New Jersey, it would all be black market, right? And that's what they're saying, all of these deaths, that most of them are from black market.
Right, so is this a black market issue?
I don't know. It's an addiction issue. It is an addiction issue.
And it's not just black market.
It's not just black market.
Right.
Because pot shops are selling vapes as well.
Right.
In states where it's legal.
And we know in the prevention world that there's plenty of data to show that a person doesn't just start taking opioids, for example. Mm-hmm. They start with other things like smoking or marijuana, drinking, which is another huge issue in our county.
Yeah, this one's kind of overshadowed everything because it's been so sudden. And I think also because it's affecting youth so much, like middle school, high school students so much.
Well, I remember reading that people that worked for the company even went into classrooms, into high school classrooms, and were marketing their product. Clearly, I mean, they're not even allowed to advertise anymore, I don't think.
Right.
But they don't need to advertise anymore. Kids are doing it for them.
That's what we're seeing.
And how is big tobacco involved?
Well, I don't know how it is, but what's happened is very much paralleled how we got into the cigarette addiction, nicotine addiction problem. You know, way back in World War II, soldiers were given cigarettes, and the companies knew they'd get addicted, and that's what happened. And then, so you had that whole generation, and my parents smoked until. You know, the information came out, and they fortunately both stopped, but many didn't.
Well,
the same kind of thing.
Yes,
customers for a long time.
And the company that owned Juul is involved with tobacco.
Okay,
so so what's happened is they've created their market.
It's the new big tobacco. There's. If it becomes an addiction, it's called, at least with THC, cannabis use disorder. And one of the handouts that you have here from SAM, which is the Smart Approaches to Marijuana. I mean, the statistics are pretty shocking. It says 1 in 5 youth have been diagnosed with cannabis use disorder in the past 12 months. 1 in 5, meaning that doesn't have to necessarily be a physical addiction, just a psychological addiction or physical to, this is for marijuana specifically.
Yeah.
But this is a pretty powerful organization that's doing a lot of advocacy work.
Mm-hmm. That's a big number, huh? 20%?
That's a huge number.
That's a big number.
People who started using marijuana more than 3 years ago. So they've been diagnosed within the last 12 months.
In the last 12 months, right. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
They didn't start using within the last 12 months.
And they're also seeing all kinds of interesting data that's coming out that even if it's legalized, that the use actually goes up.
So, mm-hmm.
And that we probably don't even want to get into that right now. But
no.
I think what'll be interesting this weekend are the conversations at the coffee hour.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do at your church, Father Ed?
We do. We have a fellowship hour, coffee hour afterwards, and it's time for discussion. My sermon will be focused on vaping and things. I think I'm going to do actually a demonstration, something that Leslie had given me an idea to do. But to have time to talk about it afterwards and to talk with the parents and the youth. And so sermon and follow-up and start the dialogue. We have to talk about it. If this is a big issue, we have to talk about it and find out where the youth are at. Our youth today are very used to just checking out. They don't want to participate as much. I don't know if it's the social media and the phones, but they've learned that they can just back off and not participate as much. We need them to talk. We need to understand, too, as parents and faith leaders, to understand their perspective, to talk to them, but not to dictate to them, to understand their perspective. And if they're involved with something like this, with vaping and juuling or other things, we have to hear their perspective first, but we have to give some direction on this because this is, like you said, it's getting out of control, completely out of control.
And I think the information that we're giving about how to talk about this with you is well done. So,
can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well,
since our guests can't see it,
they're talking about first. You know, if you're going to talk to your child about it, or a child, or a youth about it, is to. First step is to kind of get some information for yourself, okay, to be knowledgeable, which we provide that as well. I guess for an adult listening to an adolescent especially, you need to position yourself to listen, okay, which means you've got to be quiet, and you have to, you know, if you ask a question or you start a discussion, you should make sure you're making clear you're having a dialogue, not a monologue, if you will. Okay? Which is sometimes difficult, especially with what Father A just mentioned about how many of our youth now stay quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you have to pull. Previous generations, it was trying to get them to be quiet. Now you're trying to get them to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I've seen that big shift in my ministry over, 30 years. So it doesn't have to be a sit-down conversation all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can have a little bit here, a little bit there. I find that, an I wonder question is many times a good opener. You know, gee, I wonder if there's vaping at the high school. I wonder if there's, you know, you've had any of your friends have done that. And just let that be and see where it goes. That kind of thing. Of course, the big thing for parents, and what we maybe don't always realize, is that basically we're looked at as the example.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have to be very mindful of our own practices, because that's setting the example for our youth. And yeah, I'm sure there's a number of youth who have a situation where their parents may have this addiction or have, do as I do and not as I say, mm-hmm. kind of approach, which do is they do as their parents do many times.
Mm-hmm.
They might rebel for a little while, but they generally, overall, use their parents as examples. And that's where I think the faith communities come in, well, as come in and being effective as well, in that, especially with your child is there, speaking as parents now, is they get to know other parents who are good examples as well. So if they're hearing from multiple sources, it just makes it an environment. And while they might not want to talk to you, in that environment, they may talk to someone else who you, as a parent, trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the most important thing is that they talk.
Right.
Okay. And that's a supportive environment. And our faith communities, I think, we're one of the only intergenerational communities that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can even get some grandparent talking to, who's a grandparent talking to you, and they talk much easier to that generation sometimes.
That's really true.
And we have to understand,
really
it's a very tough generation.
Yeah.
They're going through so many things that we did not experience in our youth, and we have to embrace that and understand that.
You know, Father Harry, you mentioned that we have to listen, and that is so hard, because especially when we're scared.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's your child.
Yes, mm-hmm. And I know my children would tell you that there were plenty of times when I did a little high decibel parenting, maybe, or lecture mode. Yeah, but something I learned, a tip that I learned that might help other people, is when I get anxious now, I pause.
Mm-hmm.
So that creates space for listening.
Mm.
But before, when I got anxious, I just ramped everything up. And I think that's, it comes out of fear. But now I say to myself, I've got all the signs in front of me, pause. And
a mommy or daddy time out.
Yeah, it's too bad my older kids didn't have the benefit of that.
That's okay. We live and we learn.
I mean. Just by the last one, we get it right.
Yeah, that's about right.
And just for anybody going through all these difficult, there's always hope. Never feel that there's complete despair. There's always someone that you can reach out to, talk to. Somebody. You have to talk to somebody. There's always somebody there to help.
Yeah.
And we provide some of those resources in our as well.
So. Yeah, we have a very strong faith community in this county, right?
Yeah, we're blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, being involved with One Voice, the monthly meetings, I was very impressed when I was first invited to sit in. It was a nice gathering, at the prosecutor's office, and the faith community is there.
Well, it's amazing because you have law enforcement keeping clergy informed what the trends are,
mm-hmm.
and to have that collaborative effort, thanks mm-hmm. to the coalition and Anthony Kearns, I think it's amazing.
Yes. And every meeting I've gone to, I've been taking notes. Mm-hmm. When Leslie starts, I'm taking notes. I didn't know this. Mm-hmm. So it's good to be informed.
We're very fortunate because Leslie, who is the co-CEO of Prevention Resources with Karen Whitico, have done a phenomenal job of gathering all of the different, what she would call, sectors of the community,
mm-hmm.
but stakeholders or everybody is at the table. We saw that last week. We were at an opioid town hall at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And the school administrators were there, parents were there, people from the community, faith community, advocates were there. People in recovery from substance use disorder, detectives, hospital employees. It was really all gathering together, just like what you're doing this weekend, to try to make a difference and try to create change for the better.
Yeah.
And I feel very hopeful, like you said, Father A, because it's so current
mm-hmm.
that maybe there is some hope that we can nip this in the bud. Smoking had been around for a very, very long time before there was any attempt mm-hmm. to create some prevention strategies.
Right. Smoking used to be healthy, right?
I mean,
mm-hmm. Think about the advertising, and it was a cool thing to do, and then I think we're just catching up like they were back then.
So, and I have heard a number of times we have the knowledge because we did slow down the smoking,
mm-hmm.
and it was harder in the teenage age group to bring the smoking back, but we did it. And so if we apply that same kind of marketing, mm-hmm. we can do the same thing with the mm-hmm. juuling and underage vaping.
And some of that is even in our own, like Raritan Township, where I live, There's an ordinance now about not vaping in public. So it's kind of gone the same route as smoking.
Right, because Reardon Township has no smoking in public, right?
Right.
So they aligned the two.
They aligned to that,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that enables the school resource officers to be able to mm-hmm. enforce it, no mm-hmm. vaping. I've heard them all speak about how devastated they are,
mm-hmm.
That they haven't been able to get a handle on this.
Yeah, it's good to enforce. It's good to inform, right? The more information we have.
The more power we have.
I remember when Leslie came out, she told the kids, "You're killing brain cells." Mm. I saw their faces. They reacted. I'm killing brain cells because I'm still developing until the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
So the more information we get out there, I think we're going to catch up to this, but it's going to take a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Time for a break?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be right back with Sharing the Hope.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental. NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Sharing the Hope, the most hopeful place to be on a Thursday afternoon at 5:40 in Flemington.
Right here on Main Street
in Flemington. We are chatting with Father A and Father Harry, who are representatives of the One Voice Coalition, who have getting ready to roll out a very big weekend of messaging where all the faith leaders will be sharing the same voice about the dangers of teen vaping and what we can do to help our teens. So maybe before I forget.
Yeah.
DEA Take Back Day.
Yes.
DEA Take Back Day. It's National DEA Take Back Day. It will be Saturday, October 26th, the day next Saturday, from 10 to 2 at... do you have a flyer, Father Harry?
It's a whole bunch of locations.
Yes, I do. There's a whole bunch of locations. Let me get that flyer in front of you.
We'll make sure that's on here. Our Facebook.
Yeah, we can put that on our Facebook page.
There's a lot of number of drop left. There's always at the Hunter County Justice Center, Franklin Township, Frenchtown. Those are mostly the police departments.
Mm-hmm.
Franklin Township, Frenchtown, Holland Township, Lebanon Township, Kingwood, the State Police, Avenue 12. There's a drop box there. Prairieville, Reddington Township Police Department, Tewksbury, West Anwa, and then also, well, I don't know, it wouldn't be on Drug Take Back Day, but there's also a take back location at the Hardin County Senior Center.
Yeah, they do that twice a month.
And we know what the Take Back Day is, right? I mean,
yes. Let's say exactly what that is.
So, what is the senior?
What does it mean to have a take back day?
So I will explain it. I'd be happy to. So, and also Hunterdon County Library, the main library over off of Route 12, will also be open from 10 to 2, and we'll have a safe deposit box. So National DEA Take Back Day is where every municipality, but every county in the country participates in this. It actually started in New Jersey, which is very exciting. We collect medicines. We ask that you just cross out the label on the bottles, but you don't have to take them out of the bottles. It can be everything but syringes. So it can be patches. It can be liquid medicine. And the objective is twofold. One is to keep this out of our water supply. And also to get these opioids off the street, frankly. Mm-hmm. So people have been hanging on to their medicines for a lot of reasons, one of them being that it's very expensive. You just never know when you might need it, but it's very unsafe to have a lot of these medicines available, especially for our youth. So they do it twice a year. We did it in April, and in Hunterdon County, we collected 1,133 pounds of medicine.
Wow.
Which is a 10% increase, so I anticipate an increase again this year. It's powerful.
It is.
Yep.
So thank you for reminding me to do that.
And this is another place in the faith communities that have like smaller groups that meet to do that reminder more, and also in like a more small group setting.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our, during the week, many times it's older people who are gathering together, many of which are grandparents. And it's really who think, oh, I don't have any kids, but you've got grandchildren, you may not be aware of what could happen if a grandchild either accidentally or purposefully takes one of your medications, especially if it was, you know, an opioid that you had for a procedure way back when, and you kept it just in case it might be in pain again. Well. Think again.
Right. Or even those that are selling their houses, right? You have the open houses.
Open houses. Yep.
Clean out your cabinet. Medicine first. Mm-hmm.
House cleaners.
House clean. Yep.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother had her medicine stolen from a tenant on her property.
Wow. Yeah.
I've had medicine stolen.
Yeah.
And it wasn't from you.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
And again, we appreciate the faith community helping to spread the word about that. Because 1,100 pounds of medicine getting off the street in Hunterdon County, I think, is pretty powerful.
And I know I've come home with a prescription for way more pain meds than I needed through the years. It's gotten better.
It's gotten a lot better.
But certainly there have been times when I unknowingly came home with pain meds that we did not need in our house.
That's
right. So I recently had a procedure where I was prescribed. But what I did is I thought, well, prescription was called in because if I needed it, I was going to need it right away. They gave me an alternative, which I did, and I didn't need it. So,
good.
So I didn't have to waste that or put that some recycle or whatever it does any of that too. So I think that's something that people can try to.
Can you explain the water supply issue? the medicine gets into the water?
Because people would flush, you know, a bottle of Xanax down the toilet and bottles of Percocet, and it actually gets into the water supply and pollutes it. And imagine the volume.
If you collected 1,100 pounds, yeah.
In our very, very rural county, it can make a big impact.
Wow.
Yeah. So, again, we have such great collaboration in our county, and we appreciate everything that you do for us.
It's a great county.
It is.
So I mentioned the opioid town hall that was last week, and one of the things we were talking about on break is how they had this bedroom set up, a typical teenage bedroom, and there were hiding spots. And the game was, can you find the hiding spots? And they also had examples of clothing and things where you could hide some of these vaping devices.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to share at all about that?
Well, I remember I wasn't at that particular one, but I remember going to another one very much like that. And it's just one of those things where it's just so easy to hide. Not to mention, there's an issue of how much to go snooping in your child's room, you know, trust levels and all of that. But at the same time, there's the reality of it's there, how easy it is to hide it. Yeah.
Those are shoes and books and secret compartments and
ceiling tiles, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a whole line of sweatshirts. That they had an example of that you can buy on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a nice little hiding spot,
yep.
A little tiny little pocket where you can fit that jewel in there. Take a little puff and hide it from your teacher and they would never know.
Mm-hmm.
And they have purses. It's amazing.
Yep.
So it's important for parents to really become more educated.
It's hard to be a parent.
It's very hard to be a parent, especially these days, as you said, Father A, it's just hard for kids today.
Yeah, it's hard on parents, but there's help out there, right?
Yeah.
The more we're informed, the more we try and understand, the more we reach out to our faith communities or friends that understand, there's a good support system out there.
Right, and I'm glad you said that because, of course, part of what Rocky and I do is work with family members of loved ones struggling with substance use disorder, and it becomes very isolating, and people do withdraw from their supports. So always good to hear that message. Reach out. Let's normalize this. Today we're talking about vaping of our children, but whenever it's something difficult, We should reach out because
right.
Help is here.
We reach out too if we have need, but also for us that might sense there might be a need, right? We reach out and say, hey, how's everything going?
If somebody maybe has disappeared from your pew.
Right.
Who's always been there, or you know, people that we're used to seeing, maybe they're not as visible.
A phone call.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't text, don't email. Face to face. Face to face is best.
The other thing in your package that we talked about on break is that you have a lot of resources that you're providing to the faith community. It says Christian, Jewish, and Islamic.
Yes.
That what they can use this weekend to help share the message.
Yeah, we have one of our rabbis provide the Jewish scripture, which is from Exodus, which could be Christians can use as well. As well. So, as we were talking, many of the Christian congregations share the same readings, scripture readings. A good number of them do. Many also can pick independently or maybe doing something else. Some may actually be able to pick a passage based on what the topic is, which will probably fit even better. And I'm looking forward to hearing back of congregations that have done that. So anyway, in the Christian traditions, many of them, there is what we call a lectionary, where there's assigned readings each week. Okay, we have this week the theme is in the Christian tradition. And they'll those who follow that particular lectionary, which should probably be, let's see, Roman Catholic, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Presbyterian, I'm trying to think of that. And so a lot of the Reformed churches follow that same lectionary. It's called Revised, well, it's a lectionary. And the theme of the gospel, especially when that lesson will be read, is not to lose heart. I think that's a big factor.
Beautiful.
Not to lose heart. Mm-hmm. And the story is about there was a woman who was nagging a judge until she got what she wanted, you know, got attention. Mm-hmm. And basically what Jesus says is, well, if the judge says that, wouldn't God do more for his own? Mm-hmm. You know, so that God is always listening. God won't delay in helping. Mm-hmm. Okay, so knowing that to turn to God for help. So that's one of the messages there.
If I could say, too, as a faith leader, it's nice that we're all focusing on the same topic, right? We all have one voice on these issues. Those of us that say our Father makes all of us brothers and sisters. We're all one family.
Right.
So whatever faith background you are, we care for every single person
that
we come across.
I know I'm helping in my church this weekend, and we're really focusing on community. We're all part of the community, the greater community.
That's right.
In our own community. We only have a couple more minutes, believe it or not.
Yeah. Any last words that you would like to share?
Well, I would say embrace the weekend.
Mm.
I'm thankful for you having us here this afternoon. And I think that hopefully we can, in our county, together, make an impact.
Will there be lawn signs?
Yes, there's going to be lawn signs this year. That's new.
That's right.
I'm kind of excited.
I got to pick mine up.
I got one in the car.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's great. So we drive around the county and we'll see
who
else participating.
I had a nice drive around the county today. Yes, I did. Good to do it in October with the leaves changing.
Oh, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm thankful for all those, the faith leaders and the congregations who will be doing this this weekend.
Thank you, ladies. This is very nice.
Thank you so much. The time flew by.
It did fly by. Yeah, we're very honored to have you here, and you're welcome back anytime.
Okay.
One Voice has a website, too, correct?
Yes.
So if anyone's interested and wants to get more involved after hearing the interview today or after hearing the sermon this weekend.
And the materials that you're providing are also available on the website.
On the website. Perfect. So can you give us that website?
What is the website? I got it right here. Hang on.
One Voice PR or something.
Yeah. One Voice HC.
One Voice HC.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. So if people are interested and they want to see this information electronically, One Voice HC.
I believe so, yes.
Perfect. Perfect. And if they want to reach our Provincial Resources or Safe Communities Coalition, 908-782-3909. I think a lot of people are working on tools for when people want to quit.
Yes, that's the next.
So to be able to provide assistance to teens that have had it and want to stop. And also, if you want to just put a shout out for family support.
Okay, so the family support group meetings are the first and third Wednesdays in our office in Flemington at 6:30, and in Somerville, the second and fourth Wednesdays of the month. And so just contact us, Sharing the Hope page. You can find it all, or call us at 782-3909.
Perfect. Thank you, everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passion
fighting with U.S. forces to rid the region of ISIS.
That's precisely the reason we're headed there today, to try and take down that set of risks, most importantly for the United States, to ensure that the work that has been done to reduce the risk to the American people, which after all is our first and foremost priority, to reduce the risk to the American people, is fully addressed.
He was speaking on Fox, and this is USA Radio.
Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
News. Friends and family.